Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamma. Today is Friday, June 17th, 2016. With me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How's it going, Brian?
It goes.
Excellent, excellent. And John Martellaro, how are you?
I am good. Great to be here.
Excellent. It's great to have both of you here. It's also great that Atlassian is our sponsor. We'll be talking about them soon. But before we get to that, guys, I have a question. Should I be afraid of Apple Pay?
It's new and different, isn't it?
It's new and it's different. Therefore, I should be afraid.
Mm-hmm. And how?
Or at least that seems to be the sentiment among many consumers that have chosen to not jump on the NFC mobile payment bandwagon.
Well, at least according to a Pew study that was released, right?
Right, right. Yeah. And so the study asked of a group of people, and I totally missed where it says how many people were involved in the study. Anyhow, but it's from Pew, so
they do a good job.
So they do a good job. Yes, and so they were asking people about their purchasing habits, and what they found is that. Mobile payment purchasing habit specifically. And what they found is that millennials were more likely to be using mobile payments. Wait, am I getting that right? Because some of the sentences they put in here felt kind of backwards.
Yeah, you know, these study guys always... always do funky wording.
So I think it's millennials and Gen Xers are more likely to use mobile payments. Live in cities.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Nearly half. This is a quote. Nearly half of respondents say they don't know whether mobile payments are faster, easier, or more private than other transaction types, and even more do not know if mobile payments are more common, cheaper, or safer. Which is ironic because that's the one thing that it is safer.
Right.
Well, and it's actually faster, certainly faster than chip and pin. I cannot believe how bad chip and pin is.
A chip and pin is horrible. And chip and pin really isn't giving us any more security in a credit card transaction over swiping a magnetic stripe.
Well, and it's good in the sense that once the transaction starts, the chip participates in the encryption of the transaction on the way. And that's what happened to Target when they got their magnetic strip reader hacked. And because the transaction wasn't encrypted, the hack was able to capture credit card numbers. So in that sense, chips are better. We shouldn't be using magnetic strips anymore.
But they're slow. They're insanely slow.
Well, I had an experience with that at my local grocery store last year. I asked them about when they were going to start accepting chip cards because I gave up on them with Apple Pay. And they said they were having some trouble with transaction times. And it was taking 20 minutes to do a transaction, and that wasn't acceptable. So this spring, I went back in and I asked them about it again. And they said, yep, we're doing it. It's all good. And now when I pay with my chip card in a grocery store, it's done in seconds.
And it requires your passcode or your PIN. In some grocery stores. So Kroger's local name, King Soopers. They are requiring chip and requiring a PIN with it. So only for debit cards, though. If you're using a credit card, excuse me, you can use chip and no PIN.
Yeah, and I'm not – John, my experience with chip and PIN is not faster. It's not a few seconds. It's like a half a minute per transaction, and maybe closer to a minute.
I guess that's something the merchant has to work out with their financial institution to straighten that out.
Well, that's possible.
But in general, it's interesting that people don't really understand the differences between these technologies and the levels of security that they have, as we were just discussing. And the Pew Research report goes on to talk about how people aren't really aware of the relative safety and technology involved in these three levels, you know, magnetic strip and then chip and then something like Apple Pay or Android Pay. And that's a problem with all of the players, I think. It's a problem with Apple, and it's a problem with the banks. I haven't gotten a letter from my bank saying, for example, we encourage you to use Apple Pay because it's more secure and it's more trustworthy, and we're trying to push this technology. It's sort of like everybody's dragging their feet. Everybody's complaining. Restaurants are way, way behind. A lot of other merchants are still behind. I was in a outdoor mall a couple weekends ago, and I started surveying the merchants, and not a single merchant in that outdoor mall — this was in northern Colorado, south of Denver — took anything but magnetic strips. And it was incredible. Here we are, June. The EMV cutoff was October 15th. I know the deadline was extended. Some merchants were given extensions. But for us to be in June of 2016, and every merchant in this outdoor mall said, yeah, our chip reader's not working. Things like, oh, we can't get it to work. Yeah, they told me it's coming, you know, in a few months. And there's always a note stuck onto the device that says, chip reader isn't working, swipe please.
Okay, I do see that a lot. And I do go into places that have NFC readers that are just unplugged. Mm-hmm. And when I ask about it, they're like, I don't know. I don't even know how that works.
And yet there are some merchants who got all over it at an early stage. Walgreens and Panera Bread, most notably, in our town. I've been using Apple Pay gleefully at Walgreens and Panera Bread in our city ever since it started. I mean, when did Apple Pay roll out? I was October 14th. With the iPhone 6 and 6 Plus.
So last year.
No, 14.
14. Oh, wait. It's 2016, isn't it?
Yeah, I've been using
I'm going to have to start changing my checks.
At Panera Bread almost from day one. It's amazing how some companies are just so technically savvy and all over it, and some are just... And I haven't been able to correlate it to the size of the companies. But I think the general industry sort of confusion and the delays and the costs have led to a less than coherent presentation to the customer
about I think why Apple we gets should some do blame here, John.
I'm sorry?
I think Apple gets a lot of blame here.
Oh, yeah, I do. We were talking about that earlier. Apple shows these commercials with gleeful customers, you know, with shopping bags merrily, you know, going through the store, and how easy the transaction is, because that's what Apple does. They make the trend. They make this incredibly complicated, encrypted, secure transaction so easy to use that people don't understand what's going on underneath. They're not told about what's going on underneath. Apple doesn't present us with any ads that celebrate and mildly explain the advantages compared to other systems. And so people form these technology myths. We were talking with Kelly on a TDO a few weeks ago about how she saw some people glance at her phone and saw the image of the credit card and thought, oh my God, she has her credit card in her phone. That's so insecure. And they didn't really understand how it works. So we get these technology myths that people form because they don't understand the technology. Apple doesn't really spend any time explaining the differences and the quality difference of Apple Pay and the way it works. And so people are left to their own devices and their in their lives, which are pretty busy. You know, people have lots of things to do, you know, taking the kids to the soccer practice and shopping and their work and bringing work home and watching their favorite Netflix shows. Precious little time for technical education and reading. And so they're just left to, well, it's new and different, and I don't know how it works. And
people don't like change.
Yeah, and it's change.
Yep. And Brian, you are right. Apple gets to take some of the blame here because they have not presented a compelling security argument to the public. They haven't they haven't presented a security argument at all to the public.
No. As a matter of fact, I wonder if, as John was talking about the ease and the presentation of ease, if Apple's not being bitten a little bit by that, because it just seems too easy.
It does seem stunningly easy. But, you know, a lot of people that I've talked to that don't want to use Apple Pay have told me they don't want to use it because they are afraid of their data getting stolen and they don't think it's secure. And when I ask them how secure is their credit card, they have no answer. And it's because they had never thought about, is there any security with my credit card? It's just the new thing that's different must not be secure. So, yeah, there's a lot of room here for Apple to and banks as well to present a case for why we should be using mobile payment systems.
Yeah, and the security message, that's the hardest one to deliver in a compelling manner.
Tokenized systems definitely are more secure. It follows the transaction as we walk through the tokenized process. I mean,
I'm riveted, Brian.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, and so what I'm picturing now, Brian, based on what you just did, you know the scene in Jurassic Park where the little anthropomorphized DNA string explains how the dinosaurs were created for the park? That's what I'm picturing now. But it's you voicing the anthropomorphized data structure for protecting our transactions. This is going to be awesome. We need to do a Kickstarter.
I wonder if people think that when they photograph their credit card in the Apple Pay setup process, that alarms them and they think their credit card number is being stored in the phone. And when they see the credit card in the wallet, they think, oh, my credit card's in my phone. Oh, that could be insecure.
Of course that's what they're thinking.
Hmm.
Do you remember did y'all see The Big Short?
Yes.
Not yet.
Definitely. I recommend watching it. And I don't count this as a spoiler, but there's a method used in the film where celebrities as celebrities explain very, very complex and technical financial transaction stuff. Maybe Apple could use that technique.
That would be very clever. Yeah. All right. So we know that we're comfortable with NFC transactions or mobile transactions. Listeners, what do you think? Are you using Apple Pay or any other mobile payment system? And what about the other people that you know? I'm curious, who's actually using Apple Pay? Let me know. You can send me messages on Twitter. That would be at TMO Daily. You can send me emails. That would be observations@macobserver.com. And you can leave comments in the show notes. Let me know, because I'm curious what everyone's doing. All right. We have another topic that I want to hit, so I'm going to move us on. But before I do that, we have a sponsor, and that sponsor is Atlassian. And that's actually pretty cool, I think, because Atlassian, in a manner of speaking, they're like a stealth company because they make all these products that people are relying on, and they just don't realize they're from Atlassian. So if you've been involved in coding with groups of people, you're probably familiar with Bitbucket, and that's one of Atlassian's tools. And it's a tool that lets you keep track of all the code that you're working on, assign code chunks to people, review your code, and it's like your all-in-one code management system. And then you might be familiar with Jira. And what Jira does is it lets you track the projects you're working on, so you can just like seamlessly integrate it with Bitbucket, so that all the people that are working on the various parts of the code, well, you can assign them whatever they need and keep track of progress, and just have this real nice, clean way of looking at what everyone is working on, which is pretty awesome. So they make other stuff too. So what you need to do is go check out their website, which is atlassian.com. And that's A-T-L-A-S-S-I-A-N.com. Check out the tools that they have, because odds are there's something that you're either familiar with or you'll find that you need to use. So go check them out, atlassian.com. All right. And the other topic that I wanted to dive into today, this goes back to a discussion that we had before Worldwide Developers Conference. There was a rumor that Apple was going to take their iMessage platform and expand it out to include Android. That didn't happen, and it's not going to happen, and Apple has now explained why. So first, I have to point out, this is an instance where I have said Apple's not going to do something, and then instead of them changing their plans merely to spite me, they left their plans the same, so they actually did what I said, which is not release iMessage for Android.
Yeah, it was almost, what's the word? Counter-indicator?
Contraindicated.
Well, when Jeff says something, usually you can count on, when Jeff says something about what Apple's plans are, you can usually count on it being the opposite.
Right. And see, my problem goes back to Chaffin's razor, which is, it doesn't seem reasonable for Apple to do something, but that's because there's a key piece of information that they have not provided me. And once I have that key piece of information, then I'm like, oh yeah, of course they were going to do this.
You know, considering all the hoopla that we saw about iMessage and message bubbles and stickers and all the different cool things that Apple's responding to in the community that it really embraces and uses messages a lot, it's obvious to me that Apple would want to retain any competitive advantage they could have over Android. And considering also the fact that Android has been surging lately and that phone sales are flat, I cannot conceive of why Apple would want to roll out interoperable messaging to Android.
Well, the reasoning that I gave for why they could do it, which I promptly followed up with, they're not going to, was that if they did this, then they create an end-to-end secure communication system that's cross-platform and could potentially be integrated at the system level on Android, so people wouldn't have to always go and select a specific app to be able to do their chats. It would just be part of their cross-platform chatting system.
Well, considering what we were just talking about with Apple Pay, there may be a lot of Android customers who don't know whether their messages are secure or not, and maybe they don't care. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure that extending a secure platform to Android is not something that Apple has any interest in doing. And once people discover the joys of messaging on the iPhone platform, which is all some people want to do with their phone, I would think it would be in Apple's direct interest, especially with 1 billion devices. I don't know, maybe 90% of them capable of iMessage, to keep that secure community within the Apple sector and make it something that's attractive for iPhone customers.
Sure, sure. And Brian, was there anything that stood out to you from the reasoning behind not porting everything over?
Well, credit's due to 9to5 Mac. I think it was Chance Miller. Let me make sure on that. Yeah, Chance Miller. He grabbed, noticed the quote from, noticed the passage from Walt Mossberg's article that reads as follows. When I asked the senior Apple executive why, this is from Walt Mossberg. When I asked the senior Apple executive why iMessage wasn't being expanded to other platforms, he gave two answers. First, he said, Apple considers its own user base of 1 billion active devices to provide a large enough data set for any possible AI learning the company is working on. And second, having a superior messaging platform that only worked on Apple devices would help sales of those devices, the company's classic and successful rationale for years.
So, bingo. So that second part totally fits with everything that we know about Apple. The first part, though, that's kind of interesting. about
using
messages as an artificial intelligence learning platform.
You know, I'm always mentioning, not always, like there are actually several moments in my life where I don't mention, but I've often mentioned that I want Apple to go into search so that Apple can actually have search data for learning about us. And it really had never occurred to me that Apple could use iMessage for learning about us.
Sure. On one hand, that's really cool. And on the other hand, what I know based on this is that Apple is on some level mining through our messages to learn.
Yes, that is true. I personally would like Apple to do more of that, in that I trust Apple to actually not store that data. This is where the differential privacy comes in.
Mm-hmm.
So, I want Apple to do more of that, and I want Apple to do so with its commitment to maintaining our privacy and not making us the product and not amassing these dossiers on us. As long as they're doing that, I want Apple to use this data to make its platforms better.
The only thing I worry about is Sturgeon's Law. And that is, if you're doing what everybody else is doing and you're not being exceptional and you're not being thoughtful, but Apple's making decisions based on the masses instead of what's special and different and unique and intelligent, then we're doomed.
I thought you were going to say it sounded very fishy.
I want Apple to be special and to be different and to bring out the best in everybody and not cater to what 90% of the people are doing, because what 90% of the people are doing is pretty boring and pretty mundane and pretty average.
Well, if Apple could find a way to effectively mine all of this information that we as users are creating and do it in a way where it doesn't impose on our privacy and personal security, then they're doing something different and innovative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just not as sexy as a fancy new iPhone.
My pattern is screaming, though, to stick the word potentially in there. Potentially innovative.
All right. I will grant you potentially innovative. Yes. And we are out of time, so we need to wrap up. Brian, thank you so much for being here.
Yep.
And John, thank you for being here as well.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, yes. And Atlassian, thank you for being our sponsor this week. Head over to their website at atlassian.com and check out their awesome suite of team building products, Bitbucket, HipChat, Confluence, and Jira. Atlassian.com. Listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again on Monday.